administrations change. And so I think it's important that we not become complacent with that. I think also in the context where I'm working, as I said, there are 88 cities. So there's a great spectrum from, you know, cities like Long Beach and Santa Monica that are really sort of pushing the envelope, to many cities within our county that aren't even ready to have this conversation. So there's a real spectrum there. It's important that the big cities, Los Angeles, Long Beach, Glendale, that they sort of set the tone. And it's important for us to work with them. But there are many cities within Los Angeles County that just aren't there yet.
Well, that's my guest today. That's Jennifer Klausner. She's the executive director of the LA County Bicycle Coalition. And I am delighted to have her on the show. She's joined today by Sam Ollinger of Bike SD, her counterpart in San Diego. Oh, I feel sandwiched in the middle here in Orange County. I'm your host, Frank Peters, and this is my show, CDM Cyclist, where I interview people just like Sam and Jennifer. We talk about bicycle safety, growing bicycle infrastructure, best practices. That's what today's show is all about. Here in Orange County, of course, lots of good things happening right now. Huntington Beach, just about to wrap up a year-long project on their bicycle master plan. Newport Beach, just beginning their bicycle master plan project. So it's a lot of convergence in this whole subject. We'll talk about that and so many other subjects on today's show. Maybe pause for a second here and reflect. This is my 50th show on CDM Cyclist. That's a good sized number. I got time, hopefully, to do many, many more. Of course, I got my start on my other blog, The Frank Peters Show, where I've interviewed over 400 early stage investors and venture capitalists on that topic. And a few years ago, as I got involved with bicycle advocacy in Newport Beach, I thought that by reaching out to the experts in the surrounding communities and actually experts worldwide and sharing their commentary would help to expand the discussion locally here. And so today, that's a continuation of that effort. Well,
I have a couple of guests.
Let's get started. Let's listen.
Jennifer, would you start and say a few words to introduce yourself, please?
Sure, be happy to. I'm Jennifer Klausner. I'm the executive director of Los Angeles County Bicycle Coalition, and I'm happy to be here, Frank.
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. Your first time on the show with
yes.
me. Yeah, excited to talk about Los Angeles today. And Sam, say hello.
Hi, this is Sam Ollinger, Samantha Ollinger, and I'm the executive director of Bike San Diego in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, Sam, as you look north to Jennifer and her organization, now jealousy is not the right word, but Jennifer has got a big organization behind her, right? And you don't. Is that one perspective?
I don't see it in terms of size, really. I think I actually see a lot more similarities because we're in Southern California and the challenges we're dealing with are very similar.
Yeah,
it's
well,
auto-oriented culture, and we're working within that paradigm, which is much more different, I think, than mm-hmm. what our colleagues in Northern California are dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly true. It's a automobile-saturated society, Jennifer, huh?
Yeah, I totally agree, and I got to go with Sam on that. I think that there's room for organizations of all sizes. And what's really important in the environment we're working in Southern California is that we are all communicating and working towards what is really kind of an unstated but common goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jennifer, would you describe a little bit just how big is your empire? How do you describe it?
Yeah. I'm actually kind of chuckling over here that you're talking about how big the organization is. I mean, that's fine. You know, we don't mind appearing to be larger than we actually are, like a cat arching its back in fear. But but really, I mean, it has grown a lot in the 6 years I've been there. I think our effectiveness has definitely grown in that time. We've seen more political will on the part of many of the 88 cities within Los Angeles County. We're really finally seeing things moving forward and seeing bikes recognized as part of the transportation system and to some extent normalized within this car-centric society.
Right.
But it can't happen in LA just as a vacuum. So, you know, I like that we're talking about it in a larger context here. We have grown from an organization started by two young men at a place called Eco Village in Los Angeles back in 1998. We've grown to an organization that has a staff of 15, and we have partnerships with many of the cities within the county, with Metro, our regional transportation agency, and yeah, we've definitely seen a lot of growth. So not as big as maybe we could be or ought to be, considering the population of Los Angeles County, but we're growing.
You're going to get to a tipping point someday. Is that, you mentioned political will. That's that's evident in Los Angeles, or it has been.
Recently. It's recent. And,
yes.
And you know, administrations change. And so I think it's important that we not become complacent with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think also in the context where I'm working, as I said, there are 88 cities. So there's a great spectrum from, you know, cities like Long Beach and Santa Monica that are really sort of pushing the envelope, to many cities within our county that aren't even ready to have this conversation.
Right.
So there's a real spectrum there. It's important that the big cities, Los Angeles, Long Beach, Glendale, that they sort of set the tone. And it's important for us to work with them. But there are many cities within Los Angeles County that just aren't there yet.
Mm-hmm. Sam, how about for you in San Diego? It's a huge geographical area. Where are you seeing progress or forward movement?
In there's a lot of similarities with LA County as well, specifically that our geographic boundaries are pretty large. And the biggest progress I'm seeing is both in the city of San Diego, where we definitely have the political will, the support, the groundswell of support from both the streets and from up top, and Carlsbad, a city up north along the coast.
Sure. Right.
They're doing some really amazing things as well. I've been pretty impressed with some of their the city staff's proactive approach to implementing projects on the ground, even without, you know, hearing from the people, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of other cities are doing some small level things, but I think San Diego, with 40% of the population in the county, is definitely poised to lead this conversation and lead with project implementation. So that's where I see the change happening.
Mm-hmm.
We've more or less just started, actually. We haven't had this kind of conversation, to my knowledge, in decades. So this is all extremely new. So there's a lot of ironing out of details that need to be done.
Ironing out of details. Now, that's a great phrase.
Thanks.
Resistance to change comes to mind.
There's definitely there's always going to be some sort of opposition to change or some sort of resistance to change regardless. I think it's a matter of how you present the issues. So that, because at the end of the day, we're all working on is not really something that negatively impacts people. At the end of the day, it's overall positive.
Right.
And I like this quote that Ted Rogers from Biking in LA said a while ago, in that biking may not solve all problems, but it sure isn't. It may not solve all problems, but it's definitely not the problem.
Right.
And I really enjoyed that, because I think a lot of people react to the symbol of a bike as something negative. But at the end of the day, it's really providing a lot of solutions that I think as a society, we all agree is a problem that are problems that need to be solved.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of biking in LA, it's all part of what's happening right now. There's a movement at work here, isn't there? And word's really getting around. So how do you see that, you know, the blogosphere and these different points of view being shared? How's that making life easier for you, Jennifer?
Well, it definitely helps us in terms of, you know, getting the word out there and communicating, having a big list that we can broadcast to and let people know. I think also just the richness of content. There was a time when there wasn't much to talk about because the conversation wasn't really, it didn't really have the momentum that it has now. But now there's so much to talk about that, like, if you look at our weekly newsletter, there's so much in there that you can find something for almost any type of cyclist or whatever it is you're interested in just about any week. We think it's important to be connected to the folks who are influential in the blogosphere. So Ted Rogers, who you mentioned, Sam, is on our board, I'm very proud to say. And we have good relationships with people like Damian Newton, who does Streets Blog here in LA. We think that's really important because that just expands the whole audience too, and it brings the dialogue to an audience that includes non-cyclists or would-be cyclists.
Well, that's always the trick, isn't it? Is are you only preaching to the choir as a concern, huh? How do you get the word out to the new enthusiasts, bicycle-wise, I guess? Well, things like your Ciclavia do that, Jen, huh?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think if anything, we have one coming up this weekend, as a matter of fact. It's iconic Wilshire Boulevard on Sunday. We're really excited about it. It's a new route for Ciclavia. But every time they've done these events, it is really a day-long demonstration of the fact that people in LA want to come out and ride their bikes. It validates what we do.
And the elected officials, I always say, they can do arithmetic in their head. They see crowds those size, right? And they understand that there's a constituency there, right?
I think, yeah, on the one end, it works that way. And on the other end, when you're in that crowd, when you're part of it, or even if you just see it pass by and maybe you don't really know what's going on, but you learn about what is this event, Ciclavia, and where did it come from, it's normalizing human-powered transportation. And it's creating community in a city that is increasingly unfriendly because of its car culture.
Right. Right. Oh, my. That's certainly true. So my story about bicycles is I went to the University of Oregon just 1 year of my 4 years of college on an exchange program, 1972-73 in Eugene. And wow, that was, many people say, you know, that was the peak of a bicycle fad, I suppose, at that time. So everybody was on bikes. Just a couple of years later, I'm at UCLA Graduate School. And the bicycle just wasn't treated the same way. And that's what, yeah. It was scary in Los Angeles in those days. And I put the bike down for 35 years. So anyway, things are changing now. How about in San Diego, Sam? Any Ciclavia ideas, any plans for that there?
Yes, we actually ours is called Ciclos Dia, I'm sorry. And our first one is on August 11th, and it goes through a couple of different neighborhoods in the what we call our mid-city core neighborhoods, which are some of the older, more denser neighborhoods that has an incredible potential to be a model for some of the change that we're advocating for. Mm-hmm. And it goes down one pretty big corridor that a lot of locals call the hipster corridor, because it's used as a main thoroughfare by a lot of riders to get mm-hmm. north and south to different neighborhoods. So that's our big one coming up on August 11th.
So are Ciclavias, like we're talking about, kind of like almost a subversive activity on our part here, is once you start doing them, the public's going to come out in great numbers and the elected officials are going to see that. Is that part of like a manifesto if we were going to encourage other bike advocates around the country? It's a key component anyway, huh?
I wouldn't necessarily compare it to like a critical mass. You right. know what I mean? That's right. Almost what it sounds like you're comparing it to.
Maybe so.
But I think, you know what, just as you mentioned in the early 70s when you were in Oregon, and that was really the first bike boom of the 70s that really laid the groundwork for a lot of what we're working on now. I think in the same way, critical mass sort of brought this dialogue to a place where now we can have what is not necessarily a subversive or illegal in any way event, but it is something that brings people out in numbers, and it very much has the nod of approval from the leadership and from the administration.
Yeah, it's part of like a accelerating process, maybe.
Yeah.
making the movement happen. Yeah. Sam, you've had some real notable bicycle tragedies in San Diego along some of your highway on and off ramps, right?
Yes. Because of how our topography is laid out, there's often only one way or very limited ways of getting around the city. And oftentimes you have to navigate the on and off ramps leading up to a freeway. And so we've had a couple of deaths or severe injuries, actually, along these, right at that intersection in the city.
That's what I was thinking. It's cyclists don't have alternatives in those. If you live in those neighborhoods, have to get across town. You don't have choices. It's
or your alternative is a very circuitous, hilly, you know, roundabout right. way of getting around. So it's not extremely convenient. And a lot of these on-ramps are on roads that are relatively flat, pretty direct to where you need to go. And sure, there's definitely an alternative to get around. It's the most hilliest roundabout way of getting to where you're trying to go. But a lot of these ramps are in areas that are that should not actually be designed the way they are.
I don't mean to be callous, but in Newport Beach, we've had our own tragedies. And The only silver lining is it raises the discussion. You've observed that in San Diego too?
Definitely. We've certainly raised the discussion. In fact, we had a local rider who was injured last weekend. And I've been extremely busy with a couple of other issues, but the local media actually immediately highlighted the fact that the person was struck while trying to navigate a on-ramp to the I-8 freeway. And I was a tragedy, but I was happy that the press was actually picking up on this issue that the design of our city streets is not conducive for people. They really seem to have picked up on this idea, and I think a lot of folks are starting to realize that, you know, this is a man-made design. It's not something that just was there, and it can be redesigned into something that's a little bit more humane.
I always like to say to my friends, we engineered our way into this mess. We can engineer our way out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, in the New York Times late last night, I didn't read it till this morning, there's a story about Amsterdam and how there aren't enough bike racks in Amsterdam and what a problem that's causing.
I would love to have that problem.
Yeah,
what a wonderful problem to have, yeah.
I can't read that. I can't take the author seriously because for those same reasons. And a part of me, the anarchist, is saying, well, maybe General Motors should buy up all the bicycle parking lots in Amsterdam. And, no, that would be terrible. But bike racks, it's part of like the whole I think of it anyway as like the baby step in the like economic story of bicycles. Do you know what I mean, Jen?
Yeah.
In Newport Beach, we don't have many bike racks, just a few places along the beach. So if you try to run errands with your bicycle and go to a store, that's a challenge. What's it like in L.A.?
I would say in some places, it's very much the same. It varies from neighborhood to neighborhood, from city to city, as you would imagine. But I think you're absolutely right about the economic story of bicycles. I think it's just beginning to be told. And so as our work rolls out, as we are able to tell that story more completely, I think we will see more bike racks, more bike parking in business districts, in places where there are destinations where people want to go. And that's part of normalizing the bicycle as transportation.
Well, normalizing, that's a nice word. Now, I think that maybe part of the challenge I have locally is, let's say, elected officials look around. Who do they see on bicycles? The early morning Pelotons, right? The athletes out there. You could generalize and say they don't need bike racks. They're, you know, doing a 50, 60 mile ride around town. So it's one of these issues that's like a leap of faith again. You've got to build the bike racks and believe the story that then people will use them and it'll bring out more utility cyclists. And I keep thinking that's like the tip of the iceberg are the athletes. The bigger part, the part below the surface, are the potential to get people to leave the car at home when they run an errand.
I think the Pelotons are sort of a gateway drug, though, to, mm-hmm. I guess, the kind of cycling we're talking about mainstreaming. Because when I talk to some of the racers or folks who train to race with Pelotons, the world opens up in their mind. And they see themselves actually going out on a grocery ride or riding with their spouse or their kids. And they get so much joy from riding with their other fellow riders that they want to then continue that that high that they get from riding, basically. And then they start noticing specific details that, you know, folks like Jen and me and you have been highlighting. And then they start to realize, like, how much work needs to be done. And so here, I think a lot of bloggers and whoever like to put this in almost dueling camps. But I think there's a lot more common. And I think the Pelotons themselves are, I think they're more of at a loss to realize like what they can specifically do than I don't think they're necessarily opposed.
Yeah, sure. They're a loss as to how to contribute, maybe. Yeah,
but them riding on the streets, I don't think really detracts from what we're trying to do in any way.
No, sure. Jen, you were going to say?
Sam, I think you're absolutely right. And I come from that background. I come from a competitive cycling background. And I think you're right that they have fewer objections to crossing over and using bikes for everyday use because they're almost there. And some of them may do it once in a while too. And then it's a matter of how do we introduce their families to it? How do we get kind of kids back on bikes? And for sure, that group has to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. But back to bike racks, Jennifer, what have you seen? What are your latest best practices trying to introduce more bike racks into, say, a city like Los Angeles?
Well, in some cities, what's great is you can either call up the city or use a website and request a rack in a specific place, in front of a business, for example. And if the business owner has no objection, very often a city will just come out and install a rack there. If it's, if they've got a stock of racks and the ability to send folks out to actually install them. But what we're also seeing more of is we're seeing bike valet at a lot of large public events. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps sort of put it in people's minds. I mean, here in Los Angeles, we're so obsessed with how to get places and parking anyways, that it's really just a shift to say, now, how am I going to get there on my bike? And what am I going to do about parking my bike? If there's a valet there for your bike, I used to get a lot, people would look at me and cock their head sideways and say, bike valet, what's that? But now it's coming to be expected, especially at some large events.
They have them at the Saturday morning farmer's market right across the street from UC Irvine. And I think that might have been the first bike valet I had personally, stumbled upon. And it was great to see, and I was happy to use it.
Yeah, it's a perfect venue for it.
It is a perfect venue for it. Sam, how about in San Diego? Can you just dial up and dial up a bike rack?
Yes, we're starting to establish a process within the city, actually. And the bike racks are starting to become easier to install. One of the first things that our mayor did when he was elected was appoint what he likes to call a bike czar. His official title is the program manager for bicycle initiatives. So he's leading the efforts on Ciclosdia, as well as the bike parking issue. And so installing bike racks they've been popping up all over the place. And the main thing right now we're focusing on is getting more bike corrals in, the multiple mm-hmm. bike racks in. And we're working with the business district because typically the business district wants them. And we're trying to establish a process on how to do that. So that can start speeding up, essentially, the process.
So business districts want them, huh? See, in my neighborhood, that hasn't happened yet. I can just picture, we have so few bike racks, as we introduce them, we'll be getting the complaint that you're taking away a parking place. Mm-hmm. Or.
Well, April Economides from Long Beach, when she came down, she worked with the business improvement districts in the city to sign on to the program and work collaboratively on bringing both the bikes and the business discussion together.
Mm-hmm. Kind and of dispel myths, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And they really, you know, they loved it. They've bought into it completely. And they now, because there's a lot of the benefits that all of us know about, they've understood and they want to then expand on. Mm-hmm. And so it's been, I think, about a year now since they've done it. And one of the things they're working on is actually getting parking, just so people have a place to store their mode of transportation once they get to the destination, and how to attract these people. Mm-hmm. So that's been, I think it's because of April's efforts, actually, that this has come, we're having this sort of a discussion.
Mm-hmm. In my neighborhood here in Corona del Mar, a lot of, you know, there's very little parking for cars. So if somebody wants to open up a new shop, move into a retail space here, oftentimes, like, for example, the Starbucks, the number of seats that they can offer in the Starbucks is constrained by, you know, the planning commission's guidelines for how many parking places they have. So that's just one example of how, you know, bike racks, you know, and you can fit so many more customers in the same space could have an immediate economic benefit.
Yeah, like my personal suggestion is just to work with the folks who are already supportive. And once that gets underway and the naysayers see the effects of the proactive folks, they will then sign on board. I think mm-hmm. it's just now just this sort of vague reactive thing that people don't really understand. So we're just, I think it's important to work with the folks that are on your side and then right. work out.
Right. I guess keep thinking we're kind of nibbling around the edges here of an issue is to really, you know, move to the next level for all of us is like the Ciclovia this weekend. We have to show the public and our elected officials more people on bikes. And once we do that, we'll be able to, you know, demand more seats at the table. Is it that simple, Jen?
It's never that simple.
You're right.
And it would be nice if you only had to ask once, but really you have to ask over and over and over and over and over again, and you have to back it up with every possible justification for why it makes sense. But I think, you know, what you said about the bike racks is true. You put them out there, people are going to use them. And that in itself proves the efficacy of what we're doing. It will grow. And I think that the economic arguments, the economic justifications, and the growth in business districts that do welcome bicyclists is going to be evident. And so more and more areas are going to ask for it. I hope that Corona Del Mar will get there.
Yeah. So it's an ongoing, I often tell my friends it's, you know, a game of inches, and we're going to be, you know, pushing, fighting for better bicycle access for the rest of our lives here. Huh? Does it sometimes feel that way for you too, Jen?
Yes.
Yeah, right. It'll be a while before we're coasting downhill.
Yeah, I mean, things are going well, but we're not there yet. We're not where we want to be and where we ought to be. I think that we are making a difference, and we can sort of collectively pat ourselves on the back for that. But there's a lot more work to be done. There's a lot more work ahead of us.
Yeah. And of course, what we haven't mentioned either is, as everybody in the whole country knows, is we have the climate for this, right? Or the Netherlands. I've been there in the wintertime. I can't picture myself on a bike in November in places like that. But here we have the ultimate potential to, you know, support a vigorous cycling community, huh?
Definitely. Yeah.
I think events like Ciclos Dias actually is, I mean, my experience, I'm fairly new to advocacy. My experience is that there's definitely folks that are resistant to the change, but I think for the most part, people haven't really even envisioned this as a possibility. I think a lot of folks that I meet just haven't even thought about the fact that they could ride their bike to the coffee shop or to work or anywhere that they if it was made a little bit more convenient, just like the car has been. I see Ciclos Dias or Ciclovia events actually more of a I guess, an advertisement mm-hmm. of here's what it's like to experience the street when you're not trying to dodge cars, or, you know, it doesn't feel like a little battle zone that you're trying to ride through. This is how it feels like if it was extremely conducive for you to ride. And then you get that sort of support from the public. You get the support from your politicians, because they see folks enjoying this and they realize, they see all the happy faces and they see this is something that would make their constituents happy. And I see it more of a marketing message that can then transform other things. And this is what happened in the Netherlands. It happened in Copenhagen. They had car-free Sundays, which are what we call ciclovias today. And that led to all the changes that you got to experience in the Netherlands.
I like the way you put that, Sam. People get to feel it. It moves from intellectual discussion to something people can feel and see exactly. The smiles on their kids' faces. It's a great step forward for all of us.
It doesn't matter how well I describe my favorite dish to you. It's only when you taste it that you know what it
really
tastes
like. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's a good analogy, too. How about as we wrap up here, how about working with agencies? Here in Orange County, we've got Transportation Authority, OCTA, they're taking some steps working with our Board of Supervisors to, I think one of their projects in the near-term future, in the next few years, is connecting different corridors across the county. But then you've got Caltrans, and Caltrans controls much of, like, Coast Highway, which is a huge, bicycle route. Lots of need to make giant improvements on Coast Highway in terms of cycling safety. Jen, how about for you? You find yourself dealing with agencies as you work to make streets safer, or is it
definitely
mostly Los Angeles? Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you bring up Coast Highway and Caltrans, because, here in Los Angeles County, that is a major cycling corridor too, and one that has been in need of improvement for the decades I have been riding it. It's only gotten worse. I'm part of a group that meets quarterly called PCH Task Force, representatives who are residents, folks from the various cities, because it passes through several jurisdictions. There's definitely more of a conversation going on, and there's more concern for improving safety on those corridors on the part of groups like that. I think, though, I'm not sure that we're getting through to Caltrans. I'm not seeing the change on those major corridors that are controlled by state-level agencies.
Right. How about for you, Sam?
Well, I'll give you an example of a little bit of a success. We have a Class 1 bike path that runs along a state highway here in San Diego. It's an east-west route. It's a pretty popular route for both recreational cyclists, basically all cyclists of all sorts. And pretty big chunk of it is just protected by a flimsy chain link fence. And about a year ago, a car veered into it and struck a cyclist and killed him. And one of his friends was severely injured. And since then, and even prior to that, there has always been a problem of drivers flying off the state highway into the bike path through the chain link fence. And so one of the things we've been focusing on is building a sturdier barrier so cars don't just come veering into the bike path. And this one local resident, really bless him, he has been calling all his elected representatives at the state, assembly members, senators, everyone, and they started raising a fuss. And Caltrans started like, oh, it's not in our budget, we can't do this, we have to study it, to now we've found the funding, we're going to start working on building a sturdier barrier next year. And now he's working on putting the pressure to start working on it immediately instead of next fiscal year.
Oh, that's great.
And so I truly am a huge believer in that you need to get your elected officials. I mean, each of us has something like 10 elected officials sitting around. They need to be kept abreast of what actually some of the issues are and start shining the spotlight on these government agencies that are supposed to be serving us. And if they're not, this is absurd, having a corridor for decades being neglected just because they don't prioritize this mode of transportation. This is absurd. And I'm a huge fan of getting, because at the end of the day, the elected officials control the purse strings of Caltrans. And so that's the lever you can try to twist and turn around.
Caltrans, Last time I was in a meeting with Caltrans in Seal Beach, some months ago, a good 6 months ago, many of the attendees were cyclists themselves who were quick to share their own frustrations of getting buzzed by cars on narrow roads. And so anyway, I found there's increasing sympathy or common interest there, but it could happen faster. Well, Jennifer, Sam, I want to thank you. Jennifer, it's been nice to have you on the show today, your first time. Thank you very much for joining
me. Thank you so much, Peter.
Yes, and Sam as well. Thanks for coming back.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me as well. And so nice to hear you as well, Jen.
Yeah, good talking to you, Sam.
Good talking to you as well.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're back in the studio, and I'd like to thank my guests once again for spending the time with me. Look forward to having them both on in the future, too. Lots more stories to share. Of course, both Jen and Sam would be interested in hearing your comments, so come by the website, cdmcyclist.com. Or we've got Facebook comments going, and leave your 2 cents behind, too. Well, that's it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening, and good night.